The Trump administration has levied a 25% import tariff on $250 billion worth of Chinese products. Some of those are end-user goods purchased directly by consumers, but a lot of them are inputs, goods used by American companies to make their own products. One of those companies is Hawaii's Maui Brewing Company. As part of a periodic series looking at how local businesses are dealing with the tariffs, we spoke with Garrett Marrero, the co-founder and owner of Maui Brewing Company.
You know, I understand the point of the tariffs, you know, as far as leveling the playing field and the trade markets, things like that. I don't think they were very well thought out. And I think as much as the administration wanted to support small business, I don't think they really thought about the short-term impacts of the tariffs while at the same time trying to either cut taxes or, you know, help with like other legislation that we've been supportive of in the past. But specifically the aluminum tariffs, you know, I know the Canada and Mexico tariffs were just lifted, which takes a lot of the pressure off on steel as well as aluminum. And in our case, particularly, most of the aluminum for beverage cans in America comes from Canada. So that'll be a tremendous help that the increases that we were getting ready to feel will likely not occur. So that's a positive thing. But you know, that being said, it could have gone the other way, and that turmoil has just created a lot of anxiety within the industry on how do you properly project out your costs when you're making investments like a building where you need steel. You know, do we push that building off and not do it now because the tariff situation is, you know, you can't really say what's going to happen. So I think that turmoil is what's been the hardest part of it. We're happy that, of course, the tariffs have been avoided and we're not going to see that aluminum increase or steel increase. So on that situation, I think we're good now. We didn't really get as adversely impacted as we thought we were going to in the, especially on the can side. Now on the stainless steel side, the China side, that has been a tremendous challenge. A lot of stainless steel in America, even if you're buying American tanks and American equipment, the stainless steel sometimes still comes from China. And that itself has presented a lot of cost increases to us, or in some cases where we've just held off on purchases because of the unknown. To give you an idea, when we order a tank or kegs or anything, you're usually looking at a minimum of 2, probably more like 4 to 6 months before you actually receive that equipment. So when the tariff's at 10 and then could potentially be 25 and then goes back to 10 but then comes back at 25, like you're all over the board. You just can't feel confident in when that tank is going to hit the port under what tariff scheme. So for us, we've just held off on buying some equipment that we do need to grow until we can figure out this situation.
That's really interesting because the aluminum came to mind immediately. I didn't even think about stainless steel for tanks to actually make the product. So you mentioned you could, on the stainless steel side, you could kind of put off purchases for a little while, let the dust settle. But cans, you've got to keep ordering aluminum and bringing those cans in every month or mm-hmm. whatever it is, right, to keep putting your product
yeah,
out?
Yeah, we bring in containers every week from Ball over on Oahu. So, you know, the thing that was scariest about the aluminum is that if Ball was to go to a situation where just the cost of cans were too high and it didn't make sense to make those cans in Hawaii anymore, you would lose every person that's putting beer, soda, water, anything into a can in the state of Hawaii. It would just be uneconomical to actually produce those beverages here. So you would not only shut down the can plant, but you could potentially shut down every beverage producer in the state of Hawaii that's going into cans, because now all of a sudden it'd be cheaper to just ship them in than it would be to deal with Hawaii as your overall cost structure. Because once the tariffs go up, and then if tariffs were in place on the cans, can costs go up, now your margins are even thinner. Why deal with the labor component, with the insurance, with the high cost of utilities, the high cost of everything else of producing in Hawaii, when now the differential between producing in the mainland and producing in Hawaii is negligible? Fortunately, that was avoided.
So in a situation like that, had it continued or worsened, you would have potentially had to outsource your brewing operation to somewhere on the mainland?
You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say that for us particularly. we would have looked probably towards Asia and to California producers of cans and see if we could get them at a reasonable price. But what would happen is the beer prices would absolutely go up. But all beverage prices at that point would have to go up, because whether it be the can price itself and us paying even more for cans here, a lot of the other producers probably would just do it at their plants in the mainland. Like Coke, for example, already produces in the mainland and ships. So they would probably just shift more production over because of that differential. So us ourselves, unlikely, but I'm not gonna lie. I mean, there could be a situation where that was the only way to survive. I don't think we were facing that with just this round of tariffs, but Hawaii needs to think very carefully about how it operates, as well as at the federal level, how it impacts Hawaii, because you don't want to chase business away.
You mentioned a possibility of having to increase prices to cover some of these higher costs. Was that something that you already had to do in the past 6 months as this has unfolded?
We fortunately did not. We decided that it would be too short-term thinking of us in order to do that. We have to give notice to change price anyways because of the three-tier system. So if we change a price, to the stores, it could be 90 days before that price increase goes into effect. So when that happens, it just creates havoc on how much volume the stores will take, how much the consumers are willing to pay for a product. So, we could see by increasing prices, we could try to make back a nickel but cost ourselves a dime. And we didn't feel that in the obviously tumultuous administration and tariff trade war situation, we could raise prices and effectively and raise them, and then immediately all of a sudden, hey, you know what, we're buddies again, prices can come back down, and now we just basically made a hiccup in the market for no real gain. So margins got a little thinner for a bit, but that's running a business in Hawaii and in America. The steel ones, the stainless steel ones, are the ones I'm more concerned about, because you can only put off your growth so long. We've already seen it where a 10% tariff, we're like, you know what, we're going to go ahead and spend the money because it makes sense. We need that growth. You know, when we're growing at the rate that we're continuing to grow, we can't just be like, you know what, no, we'll stop now. So the 10% was worth it, but at 25, all of a sudden things start changing pretty dramatically. And the problem is that there aren't enough U.S. manufacturers of equal or better quality that could even meet a timeline for you, because now there's this mad dash to suppliers. They're rushing to get stuff out, and the quality suffers. And it really is it's something that's just not reasonable to think that if you don't get it from China, it's not reasonable to automatically think, oh, I'll just get it in the U.S. Because finding, like I said, an equal or better quality manufacturer and meeting a timeline and at a fair price, because remember, now we have to buy it from them. So what do you think happens to the price? Price goes up even higher than it was before. So that has been definitely a challenge in dealing with U.S. suppliers or suppliers from other countries beyond China.
As you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of unpredictability with this situation, but it's looking like these 25% tariffs could be in place for quite a while. How are you going about preparing to deal with that?
So looking at other types of equipment, technology has changed quite a bit in the brewing and beverage industry. So for us, rather than looking at tanks, we're looking at other types of equipment that does come from either the U.S. or Germany that's a much smaller footprint that can speed up our processing times. So basically, one thing we're looking at, for example, that shifts labor to make us more efficient is automation. So we're looking at how do we automate some of our functions so that they can operate and we have a labor savings, but at the same time we also have more efficient operation with less waste. So getting every drop of beer out rather than worrying about getting another tank. So we're really forced to look inward and see how much better can we get at our jobs from an efficiency standpoint? What kind of things can we automate to make the jobs easier for our team and make them obviously be able to go longer, as opposed to looking at just buying, say, another 250 barrel fermenter? because that's the number one thing for us has always been buying tanks. But we just have to recognize that there are other ways to do our job, and we are learning that very quickly.
Well, Garrett Marrero, thanks so much for your time today.
You bet. Great to talk to you, Ryan.